Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
As you know, if you've been a part of our Wednesday night services, on Wednesday nights we are going through the Minor Prophets, and we spent the last month or so on the book of Amos, and tonight we're switching gears to a book that maybe you're more familiar with one of the prophets you're more familiar with. We're going to talk about Jonah, and we're so blessed as a church to have multiple people who have been thoroughly trained in Bible school and have held credentials and are ministers of the gospel, and that's a blessing to us as a church. And so we want to give people opportunities to express their gift. And so I've asked Pastor Robbie if he would come tonight and share with us the Word of God from the book of Jonah. And I tell you what, I'm always nervous when I give a children's pastor the assignment of Jonah. I walked in here expecting like a huge blimp of a whale hanging from the ceiling. But anyway, Robbie, love you, brother. Thanks for all you do for our church. And look forward to hearing the Word of God from you tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. And I'm too close. Maybe not. You know, no, it's I couldn't see it on my peripheral over here. I consider it an honor to speak from any pulpit. And I thank you again, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. And I kind of feel like a prophet tonight, Pastor. You know, I was excited to be here, but, you know, sometimes a prophet's not excited about giving the message that God has given him. And so I have a little mixed feelings about tonight, because I believe we're going to learn some things that you may not have known about Jonah tonight. And I just want to start out by reading just the first three verses of Jonah. It's going to be up on the screen. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, this great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Father, we just thank you, God, tonight for this evening. God, thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence and to share your word with these fine people, God. And I pray, God, that you would anoint my lips as I share your word tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Okay, so here we have, it's very simple. Jonah's a prophet, and God says, go to Nineveh and cry out against them. So he's already, in the first moments of his call, he knows he's going to be sharing a message that is not going to be liked very much. And we're talking about not only not liked, but it's to the Assyrians. So who at this time were the major power in the world. The Assyrian Empire was a world empire for about 300 years, from about 900 B.C. to 607 B.C. And they were known as being some of the most violent and brutal people ever to be around. So brutal that when they would conquer a city, that most of the times they would burn it all the way to the ground. They would tear down everything. They were very well known for cutting people's heads off when they came in. And I read a lot about the Assyrians, and they would go even as far as building pyramids with heads, with severed heads, and displaying people on stakes at the gates to show people how brutal they were. So these are the people that God has asked Jonah to go talk to. And Nineveh was the largest city at this time. It was actually even larger than Babylon. There was over 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. And, you know, it's interesting because out of all the things that I read, Jonah was the only prophet called to the Gentiles. All the prophets in the past that come before and after Jonah, they were called to the Israelites, to God's people. You know, God would say, repent. They repent, they turn, then they go back to their old ways. But Jonah was the only person called to the Gentiles. And what did he do? His first reaction, he rose up and fled. That means he ran. That means he did not wait. And And it says that he went down and procured a ship. And I like a lot of pastors, I like to do a lot of studying when it comes to in-depth, you know, getting into it. And I've read a lot of people's commentaries and stuff, and they feel that the translation in the Hebrew, when he procured his passage on this ship, that these people that he bought it from, they were traitors. And that they were not ready to leave, but Jonah paid and hired the entire ship and its crew so that they could leave right away. That is how much in a hurry Jonah was to get away. He was going the exact opposite direction. Now, anybody ever try to run from God? It usually doesn't work out too well. I got to get my notes straight here. I need a bigger pulpit, Pastor. So Jonah boards this ship. It is full of sailors. And of course, the storm comes. And I found this also an interesting fact. They were scared for their lives. They're dumping their cargo. They're throwing stuff overboard. They just know they're going to die. And the thing about this storm was it was supernatural. The Bible is very clear about that. But guess what Jonah was doing? He was found sleeping in the bottom of the ship while they're scared of dying. Now, I've got a simple question for you. Who else do we know in the Bible that was sleeping on the ship during a storm? A supernatural storm. Jesus. And you know, another fun fact. Jonah was only one of four prophets that Jesus ever mentioned in his life. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he shared and used Jonah's time in the belly of the fish as symbolic as his death and resurrection, being in the grave for 3 days. So here Jonah is on the ship. They come and wake him up and they're like, "Who are you? What's your job? What's your people?" And Jonah's like, "I'm a prophet." And we're talking about people that are pagans. They follow pagan religions, but they know who God is. Because don't you know the stories of all the miracles that have happened, you know, through the years and all these different things that have happened? They're like, "Okay, what do we got to do to stop this?" And Jonah's like, "Throw me overboard." And they're like, "Nope." We're like, "Your blood is not going to be in our hands." But it's at this point that they actually pray to God himself. And they're like, "Are you going to cause us all to die because it's one man?" Basically, so they said. So they lop Jonah over the side. And he gets swallowed, and the Bible is very clear about God prepared a fish. And I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but all the studies that I've done, they say it wasn't a whale. I don't know who came up with that. Sorry, Pastor. It was a big fish. And Jonah spent 3 days. I'm not even going to go into what that had to be like. I mean, no, yeah, that's, yeah. So, finally, Jonah comes to his senses, and he prays. Fish spits him up on the shore. All the commentaries I've read said he was probably pale white because of all the acid in the fishes, you know, so he wasn't very pleasant looking. You know, I see, some people have pale skin. I don't have anything against pale skin, but I seen a girl one time, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, I hope she don't stand next to a lamp because she will burn, like, real quick." Okay, I'm getting off track. So, Jonah is traveling. Now he's traveling in the whale. Now he is getting his second call from God. God said, "Go to Nineveh. Cry out against them." And at this point, decision to do what he's asked to do. Now, I want to bring up a few things about Jonah that you might not have thought of. This is that part. Remember I told you I was kind of iffy in the beginning? Okay. Jonah was a racist. Jonah was a bigot. He hated the Assyrians so bad. That's why he did not go when God called him. okay, Jonah's a prophet. What is his job? His job is to prophesy the words that God gives him. But no. And do you know why Jonah ran and didn't want to go to Nineveh? And the Bible is very clear about it. It says he knew that God would have compassion on them if they repented. And Jonah did not want to see that. He did not want that to happen. And that's why he initially left and went the other direction. And of course, at this time, you know, Amos, we just got to talk about Amos. Basically, he's preaching the same message. He's preaching the same message that Amos. Okay, judgment's coming if you don't repent. And it was at this point, it was 40 years later, that they came in and they took everybody. They destroyed. God's judgment came on. And the one thing that in my studies, you know, Jonah was a patriot. He was a patriot. And do we think there's anything wrong with being a patriot? I'm a little patriotic. Not much. I don't really care for 4th of July and all the fireworks and all the hoopla and all the big crowds and bouncy houses and stuff like that. Not against bouncy houses, but I'm just, you know, I like to, yeah. But I'm American. I'm proud to be an American. But Jonah was a patriot, and that was one of the things that fueled his hatred for the Assyrians. Jonah was in a very dangerous place, especially being a prophet of God. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, disobedience to God creates turmoils in a Christian's life, okay? Disobeying God caused turmoil in Jonah's life. I hope that, you know, God doesn't have to lock me overboard and cause me to live in the belly of a fish for 3 days. But, you know, this should tell us all that there is no limit to what God will do to get your attention. No limit. And, you know, one of the most important things that we want to remember tonight is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, says this. First of all, then I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, not just Israelites, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge the truth. Here we go. If there's one thing that will drive me crazy, and maybe I'm alone in the room, is injustice. When you see and experience injustice. Jonah had every reason in the world to hate the Assyrians because of all the things that they were doing. But God desires that even the Assyrians be saved. So if God desires that, where does that leave us? To be men and women after God's own heart. There is no room in our lives for prejudice and discrimination. God called us to love everyone, even terrorists. All the people that we, you know, I have a hard time going down the road in Cabot and not seeing injustice. I mean, I knew I was going to be transparent tonight, so I'm just going to go ahead and go, Pastor. I'm sorry if I'm going to be transparent. You know, I see somebody, I'm talking flat out, pull out in front of somebody. I can't tell you how many times I've said, hit them! They deserve it! Maybe I'm alone. Maybe I'm alone. I don't know. Injustice. Oh, here's one. I know nobody's ever done this before. You've got three items. Here we go. You've got three items and you're in the line in the 15 items or less aisle, and there's a person in front of you that's got a questionable amount. Come on, let's be honest. And how many of you have sat there and went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Come on, somebody. Let's be real here. Injustice. It's as simple as that. And you know, that little thing can cause you to have a bad attitude. You can let something like that ruin your day. Just like that. We've been going through John Bevere, The Bay of Satan. I've got to say this quote just from 2 weeks ago. I will never forget it for the rest of my life. People who have unforgiveness have forgotten what they've been forgave of. Jonah had forgotten. He got off on his own path. He let his hatred take over. Find my place. Jonah went through extreme measures to run from God. But again, there's no limit to what God will do to get our attention. But there's good news. How many of you guys are ready for good news now? This is it. Failure does not disqualify one from God's grace or God's service. Grace is always the first and best option. Pastor Burton, when I served underneath him, he taught me this very valuable lesson. Grace is always the first option. The hammer is almost never the option. But there's times we want to bring the rain. Now, I know I'm going to step on some toes here. I'm not, you know... The thunderstorms happen at home, too. We all have, some of us most have kids. You want to bring the rain. I mean, this is just a very recent incident. One of my chillins. Seriously, you're eating chips and dip in my bed with my microfiber sheets? Are you serious? Sorry, Dad. 5 minutes later, I walk out, and there on the kitchen counter is the jalapeno and cheddar and the Fritos. Of course, the jalapeno and cheddar is supposed to be refrigerated. I walk back in there. Excuse me. The jalapeno and cheddar chips are on the counter still. Okay, I'm sorry, Dad. Whew, glad that's over. 30 minutes later, I walk back to the house, and there is the chips and dip still on the countertop. I went zero to angry like that. And I got a little vocal, I'll be honest with you. I brought the rain a little bit. Compassion, grace. Sometimes the hardest place to find it is in our homes, the people closest to us. 21 years ago when I was in Teen Challenge, a man came to our campus and he shared his testimony. His 16-year-old daughter, beautiful daughter, killed by a drunk driver. I have a 16-year-old beautiful daughter, and I'm reminded of this. And he shared the story about how it broke his heart and it hurt him so bad, but God called him. Forgive this man. And he told us a story of how he went to the jail and faced this man face to face and said, I forgive you. And God loves you. I don't know if I could do it. Grace, compassion. This was God's plan for the Assyrians. Jonah went. He hated it, but he went. And he walked through that town telling all those people that judgment was coming if you don't get yourself right. And guess what happened? The one thing Jonah was afraid was going to happen. They repented. And you know, in the Old Testament, they have a thing that's called sackcloth. And ash, they would put this rough material on their head in ash as a form of humility. 120,000 people are in this city. And guess what happens? Word gets to the king. And the king puts sackcloth and ash on his head because he needs salvation too. And then he makes a decree for everybody in the entire city to do this. Not only them, but their animals. 120,000 people. How many animals do you think was in that city? They repented. They repented. They repent. And guess what Jonah does? He leaves the city. He's angry. He is absolutely says this to God. He says, I just want to die. That's how much he hated the Assyrians. We're talking about after he's been in the belly for 3 days. Now he's, miracle has happened. The entire nation has repented. And he's throwing a pity party. He is still carrying his hatred and his racism. He didn't want to see them get saved from the beginning. And now they're all saved. I've got to read this because this is just... When God saw their deeds, we're talking about the Assyrians, they turned from their wicked way. Then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God was going to destroy them. This is another little tidbit I found in all my studies. When Jonah was pronouncing judgment, they equated it with the same kind of judgment as Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah had already been leveled and flattened. The Assyrians knew about it, I promise you. And Jonah was preaching this message, so they were scared. Because they knew it had happened. This was historical facts. God relented. He didn't bring it upon him. But, there's that but in there. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? He's saying, I told you, I knew you would save these people if they repented. Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled. He's basically telling God, I fled because I knew you would save them. For I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Do you hear how much hatred he had for the Assyrians? This is after everything, and he still doesn't get it. He hated them so bad, he would have rather died than see them live with forgiveness. Has the Lord ever asked you a question sometimes? This is a question. Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? I'm sure I'm the only person in this. How many of you guys know when somebody's angry, especially your spouse, you know how to keep it going, right? Why are you real quiet, real gentle? Why are you so angry? And it just makes them more angry. Anybody in here? Do you have good reason to be angry? Jonah didn't even answer him. It says, then Jonah went out of the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. He was waiting for God's judgment on the hill. He's still hoping that God's going to destroy them all. There is no room in our lives for racism, discrimination, prejudice. Jonah was a prophet of God, and he failed. But God still used him to save that city at this moment. And then it just goes on to say, Jonah was hot, the sun was scorched his head, God caused a plant to raise up, shade his head, and he was happy. Still wanted to die, but he was happy. And then the next day, God calls a worm to eat the plant. And then Jonah gets angry again. This is another supernatural act in Jonah. And it came about, we're in chapter 4, verse 8. It came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Again, Jonah is begging to die because he don't want to live with the reality that the Syrians are under God's grace. And then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry? Again, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. Then the Lord said, you have compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Forgiveness leads nowhere good. Romans 12:19-21 says this. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a time or two I wanted to take vengeance on some things. Do you know that if you take vengeance, you are stealing from God? Because it says it's his responsibility. God says, I will repay. I will repay injustice. We see injustice every day. And I want to challenge you. Go home and think about this. Because this is not the Jonah that you grew up with. This is not the story that you heard in Sunday school. And it caught me off guard too. Hatred. Those who have unforgiveness have forgotten how much they've been forgave. I will end this with the last verse in Jonah. It's the only book of the Bible that ends in a question. And should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? Father, I thank you so much, God, tonight. Oh, God, we pray for your compassion and grace. Supernatural helping of grace and compassion. God, if there's prejudice, there's discrimination, there's any of that, please drive it out of me tonight. And I pray that these people would pray the same prayer. God, your word is clear. You desire that all be saved. God, let us have a heart after you. God, I need compassion. I need more compassion in my everyday life. word is so clear. Let us take heart that you're a prophet. God, I'm encouraged that even though we fail, you still have grace for us, forgiveness. God, as a prophet, delivers a message that is not accepted very easily sometimes. I pray, God, we accept this message tonight. And God, as we leave this place, that you're anointed and your Holy Spirit would go with us. That your Holy Spirit would remind us when we have those instances where we see injustice and we want justice. You loved us all so much that you gave your only Son. Father, we thank you and we ask your blessings as we leave from this place tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.